With me today is Emma Harper. She is a chartered legal executive with Burkitt Long, and she works in the wills, trust and probate team. Now today she's going to talk about wills and the different ways of making provision for your beneficiaries. So Emma.
Yes, there are a number of ways that you can make provision for people. Your will is designed to carry out your wishes and your executors will do that after your death. Now most people want to leave their assets to their beneficiaries absolutely with no strings attached, but that's not suitable for everybody. Especially in this day and age, we have many people who are in a second or third relationship. They perhaps have children from each of those relationships, and whereas they might want to make provision for their new spouse or partner, they also want to make sure that their children will ultimately benefit. We also have issues where clients are very aware that they may be paying for long-term care in the future, and they might want to try and protect some of their assets in their will, again, to make sure that not all of that money is tied up in their care fees.
And how do they do that?
What we will ask them is what they want to put into the trust. So some people will just choose to put the property into the trust. Some people want to put their entire estate in, so investments and cash as well. What ultimately happens on the first death is a benefit will be given to the spouse or partner. Now, if someone's chosen just to put their property into the trust, the spouse or partner will have the right to live in that property either for the rest of their life or until they decide to remarry or cohabit with somebody else. They don't own the share of the property from the one that's passed away. Effectively, they're a tenant, but they're not paying any rent. If they should need long-term care in the future, because they don't own that share of the property, it wouldn't necessarily be taken into account when making the financial calculations. Similarly, if they do decide to remarry or cohabit, they have their share of the property to do with what they want, but the share of the one that's passed away will then pass down to the children. If the person does need long-term care, chances are the property is usually sold so that money can be tied up. And the share of the person that's passed away can then be invested, and the partner will receive any income that that money produces. But the capital is again ring-fenced to be passed down to the next generation.
There is another aspect to wills and trusts which we haven't covered, and I wonder if you can explain this, but what is lasting powers of attorney? Because there might be some people who don't know the term.
The will looks after your affairs after you've died. A lasting power of attorney is designed to help people look after your affairs during your lifetime if you can't do things for yourself. So, for example, if you've lost capacity, if you've had an accident or you're ill and you can't manage your financial affairs or make decisions, nobody has a right to do that for you, whether they're your husband or wife, your next of kin or your legal advisor. The power of attorney allows you to nominate somebody, whether that's a family member or a professional, who will effectively step into your shoes and they will take over the management of your affairs. Now that can be for long periods of time, or it can just be until you recover. And effectively, unless you restrict them, they can do anything that you can do. And there's two separate powers of attorney, one which deals with your financial affairs and one which deals with health and welfare.
Now, if there's anyone who wants to get in contact with you about anything that we've covered, how can they reach you?
I'm available at the Colchester office at Burkitt Long. My number is 01206 217 387 and my email is emma.harper@burkittlong.co.uk.